Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio to open God's eternal word and to study the word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the word of God today. We're continuing our study that we began on Monday from the question found in the book of Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 3, where the word of God said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And I said on Monday, I want to preach a message on that last phrase, "so great salvation." But then when I began thinking about the "so great salvation," I realized I needed to back up and talk about the great Savior. And then when I thought about talking about the great Savior, then I realized I needed to back up and study the great sin, which produced the need of the great Savior and the great salvation. So for the last two broadcasts, we've been over in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, looking at this matter of so great a sin. The sin that was committed by Adam that launched all of the human race into a state of depravity, wickedness, and sin. We look first of all at the first man created in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7. The Bible said, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And we learn from that verse of scripture that man is a body from the ground, he is a breath from God, and he is a being that is God-like. Then when we come to chapter number 3, in the first 5 verses, we looked at the conquest of Satan. "I said to you that Satan did not make any assault or attack upon God, for creating the animals, the vegetable kingdom, or the solar system, or any of the heavenly bodies. But as soon as the Lord created man, then Satan begins an assault upon God, using man as the battleground." We look first of all at his attack upon the Word of God in verse number 1 through verse number 3. Then we look second at his attack upon the wisdom of God. That's in verse number 4. And then in verse number 5, we saw his attack upon the will of God. And Satan has always, since he was cast out of heaven, been the enemy of God. And since man is made in the likeness of God, then Satan launches his attack on God at the man whom God has created. Then we saw the course of sin found here in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 6. The Bible said, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat with her." We looked at these three avenues into this great sin that Satan still uses to this day. There is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Then we looked at the course of sin, and we saw that Eve listened, she looked, she lusted, then she lost. And we saw in the consequence of sin that sin affected Adam and Eve externally, internally, and eternally. And then we looked at the concern of the sovereign. What will God do? I remind you that God could have killed the sinners and started over and still been God. But instead of doing that, he does something different that is unique to God himself. In verse number 8, we learn, first of all, that God came. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Second, we learned in verse number 9 that God called. The Bible said, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, I mentioned the fact that God came, and I mentioned the fact that God called. And then I asked myself the question, why would God come? And why would God call to sinners who had sinned against him? And the answer is very simple. Because God cares. God cared so much for Adam and Eve that he would not stay in heaven and let them go to hell. He came to where they were and offered them a picture of the plan of salvation. And we'll look at that in just a little bit. But then we saw the curse of sin. In verse number 14, there is the curse of sin upon the serpent. He is cursed above all cattle. He will crawl upon his belly, and he'll eat dust all of the days of his life. Then in verse number 16, we saw the curse of God upon Eve. The Bible said in verse number 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now that distress was pronounced upon the woman for her part in the sin against God. Notice it again. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Every morning sickness that a lady goes through when she's expecting a baby, she goes through that as a result of the curse of God upon womanhood because of the sin of Eve in the Garden of Eden. All of the sicknesses, then all of the birth pain, and all of the misery there can be in carrying a baby for 9 months in a mother's womb is there because of the results of God's judgment upon the woman because of her part in the so great sin and the effect of it upon the entire human race and upon all the world. In verse number 17, the Bible said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So not only does he curse Satan and the woman and the man, but now then he curses the ground. The Bible said again in verse number 17, he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse number 18, he said, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So we see the effect of this great sin of Adam. It brings God's judgment upon the serpent, upon the animal kingdom, upon the woman, upon the man, and upon the ground itself. The whole creation, Romans chapter number 8 said, groaneth even until now, waiting the adoption to wit the redemption of the body. So the judgment of God came upon the entire creation because of this so great sin that Adam and Eve committed there in the Garden of Eden. Now, let me summarize quickly. Why is there so much sin, suffering, sorrow? wars. Why is there such an epidemic of the different diseases and plagues of our community and our country, of the drugs and the drinking and the immorality? Why is there so much murder? Why is there war after war around the world? I want to tell you why. They're all the result of the great sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You say, now, preacher, we're going to blame it all back on them. No, we have the same sinful nature. We war and we strive within ourselves and among ourselves, and it's all because of sin, the great sin that started back there in the days of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And friend, the effect of that sin is universal. The wages of that sin is unchangeable. The wages of sin is death. It's still death, and people still die because of sin. Don't blame God. Blame the sinner. Blame Satan, and blame yourself for your own sins that brings God's judgment and wrath upon your life and upon my life. But I want you to get the picture. This is not just a kind of a bad situation that we live in. We are sinners, and we live in the midst of a sinful world. And the only hope of this is to be saved by the grace of God. Then one day the Prince of Peace will come, and there will be peace upon the earth when Jesus Christ comes back again. But let me give you three things quickly before I leave the air today on the comprehension of salvation. God said to Adam and Eve, you got to leave the garden. But before you go, I want to give you this promise. In verse number 15, he gives them a promise of the Savior. God said, speaking to Satan, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then we see he gives them a promise of the Redeemer. The seed of the woman, which is to be the Lord Jesus Christ, will bruise the head of the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the serpent will bruise only the heel of the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that happened at Calvary. But notice something else in verse number 21. The Bible said unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. Now, in this simple verse of Scripture, there is a substitutional death of the innocent dying for the guilty. There is the picture of the guilty being covered by the righteousness or the sinlessness of those garments made from the innocent animal. That's a picture of Christ taking our sin in his own body on the tree and dying for us, and then clothing us in the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, my friend, here is a picture of the great sin that thrusts the entire creation into turmoil, confusion, envy and strife, sorrow, tears, heartbreak, homebreak, and all of the situations that we do not like that we live in today. All of this is a result of that great sin. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust the broadcast was a blessing to you today. Let me remind you that Harvest Time is a listener-supported radio ministry, and I need to hear from a number of you. Would you pray for the radio ministry and then write to us and share with us in the financial burden of this radio work? Address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.